Just 5 minutes after the 12 o'clock hours is where we take a look in our lunch rush at the top five stories, top three, four, five, it doesn't matter, trending nationally. Let's get to it. NBA avoids scheduling regular season games on Election Day. They're going to be off. No games will be on Election Day, which is November 7th. The league schedule for the coming season will have 30 teams playing. Oh, excuse me. They'll be playing on November 7th, the night before the midterm elections. The NBA is hoping teams use that night as an opportunity to encourage fans to get out and vote, plus amplify the need for civic government. Angel, tell me, why does this hit me wrong? Why does this hit me weird? It's good to vote. Everybody should vote. Go vote. Vote, vote, vote. Why does this bother me? Why is this weird?
It's another situation where it's kind of politics and sports kind of mixing. And, you know, I understand why they're doing it, but it's also, did we really need to? Because no one's watching NBA at 8 in the morning when the polls open.
Right. And the NBA encouraging play. Listen, I'm all for everyone voting. But do we want everybody talking about who to vote for? Like, do you want Carrot Top or weird, wacky comedians or players that maybe, I don't know, do they follow this stuff on a regular? I don't. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I vote, but I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. I just feel, it's strange to me. I don't know why. It just hits my ear wrong.
No, politics, sports, they don't always mix. And, you know, the NBA is no stranger to this kind of stuff, but it's just a little strange. Tuesday in November, no NBA basketball.
No NBA basketball. And again, let's not forget, NBA coaches, prominent leaders in the NBA are typically what we've seen, one side, right? I mean, Greg Popovich, one of the leaders in the NBA, very much against the right side of the political spectrum, if you will. So again, I just think it just hits my ears wrong. It's like, we encourage all of our players to go. I mean, LeBron James is wearing a vote or die shirt a couple years ago. That was a joke on South Park that LeBron James made real. I don't think so. I don't like that side because I'll tell you what, I'm not going to take voting advice from LeBron. I don't take voting advice from athletes in general. There might be some, though, that I feel like he's really educated on the topic. Be educated on the topics. Then maybe you can have your entire day of encouraging people. I don't know. Hit my ears wrong. Move on to the next segment. Next topic, I should say. How about this Philadelphia 76ers thing? Ben Simmons and the Sixers finally reached an agreement or a settlement on the grievance Simmons filed to recoup a portion of the nearly $20 million withheld from him as a result of his failure to play games in 2021-2022. Both sides agreed to confidentially to make this a confidential agreement. They're not going to give out the financial exacts, but they did make a settlement. Weird. Simmons and the National Basketball Players Association filed the grievance in April after the discussions between Simmons representatives at Clutch Sports and the Sixers didn't result in a settlement, sources said. Size entered into an arbitration process, but reached a settlement agreement prior to judgment. What a weird situation with Simmons, right? This whole thing has just been bizarre.
For a player that really hasn't done that much.
Hasn't done anything, really. I mean, he was supposed to be this big-time player. He had a good year, his rookie year? And after that, lost. Not that he was a good shooter anyway, but completely lost his shot. Weird situation. All right, Tiger Woods is scheduled to meet with several of the top golfers in the world today in an effort to rally support around the PGA Tour and its ongoing battle with the rival LIV Golf Series, sources confirmed to ESPN on Monday. The meeting between Woods and the group of players is set to take place at the BMW Championship in Wilmington, Delaware, host of the second FedEx Cup playoff event that begins Thursday. A player who was invited to attend the meeting told ESPN that it will include many of the top 20 players in the world and a handful of other influential PGA Tour members who haven't defected to LIV Golf. It will take place shortly after a previously scheduled PGA Tour Player Advisory Council meeting at Wilmington. So having Tiger on your side is a good thing.
Sure, he's the Michael Jordan of golf, so yeah. You're going to listen to what he has to say.
What do you think about all this stuff? Like, PGA's mad that other golfers want to do both and go out and do both. On one hand, I get it, because it's like, if I was an NFL guy, I wouldn't want my NFL players going out participating in different leagues, if there were. But it kind of happens. I mean, look at the NBA. These players go overseas and they play for their teams or whatever, and they play in the Olympics or not even the Olympics. Just they play overseas for their country or whatever in games. But I also get it. I get why the PGA Tour is all up in arms about this, too, because that's their brand. Those are their guys. And they're going and really promoting and being a part of a rival golf program or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, this year, really, I've tried to pay a little more attention to golf. Not much, but on the weekends. And I mostly just watch PGA Tour events. You start following these guys and certain players. And it's interesting because golf itself, it's a very tough sport. And if you're not the number one or in the top 10 of the tournament, you're not going to get points. You're not going to get money.
Yeah.
And I get that. And a lot of these golfers, they see, oh, I really don't have a shot at the FedEx Cup. Maybe go make some money in the LIV Tour. And, you know, I get that. And there's a whole other conversation to have about where that money comes from and how it gets paid to the players. But the PGA itself has been the mainstay for golf for so long now. And now they're getting faced with a challenger and maybe they're scrambling a bit.
Yeah. And I guess, is it good for golf? Is this good to have these guys? Because we always say, like, competition makes things better. You argue, you know, people argue about the video game Madden and how it's not really improved over the years. Ever since NFL 2K went out and Madden had the monopoly over all things NFL pro games, the game hasn't grown much. They haven't added much to it to make it better. Is this kind of like that where, okay, PGA Tour, now you have competition, be better somehow? I don't know how you do that with golf. I mean, there's only so many things you can do.
Oh, for me, I haven't watched a LIV Golf event because I don't really hear about when they are or who's the big name players. Obviously, there are big players in there, but you just don't hear it a lot. And the only time you really talk about LIV is in a situation like this where the PGA is going at them for it.
Yeah, it's just a very peculiar situation. I guess when I first hear about it, when I first break into it a little bit more, I feel like maybe it could be something overall that's good where they're competing against one another and it makes the PGA Tour better. It makes LIV better. But again, it's just, I'm not the biggest golf guy in the world, so I don't know what that competition would breed. What would that do? I mean, be better at golf. Go head-to-head. I don't know, but the PGA Tour is not going to do that. I just picture, like, you know, Tiger Woods leading the group, the PGA group, going up against the LIV group. And who's with LIV? Like, name a golfer. Like, the best golfer that's with LIV. Do you know?
Brooks Koepka, I think.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I can only name like four golfers, so that's one I have heard of.
There's quite a few, and just, it's almost like a random name generator. Just, oh, John Jenkins. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Know that name.
He's Irish.
Yeah, that's the appeal, right? That's why. He's got an interesting accent compared to other people that I've heard in golf.
Apparently.
Yeah, I guess. 14 minutes after the hour. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's 888-530-0043. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Do you think this is the year? Does Drew Lock turn things around in Seattle? How about this? 63% of the hooligans are saying yes, that this is the year. He's going to turn it around. He's going to get it right. Now, a lot of people aren't paying attention to that game over the weekend. I've heard national guys talk about it. I'm like, did you guys watch the game? Drew did very well. And this is coming from me. Drew was very good. But he still did the thing that lost him his job to Teddy Bridgewater. Agree or disagree with Vic Fangio, he still did the turnover thing. He missed a pass protection call. Guy came in on his blind side, caused a fumble, and cost the game. Cost him the preseason game. Drew has a tendency to turn the ball over. That's just who he is. Can he get better at that? I still believe that he's one of those guys that might be able to get better at ball control and understanding assignments. I just don't think it happened at all. Now, from what I know, I'm not saying Pat Shurmur doesn't know football. Clearly, Pat Shurmur knows football to get to that level of football. Way more than I'll ever know. But I didn't get the sense that his head coach cared about the quarterback situation. You heard reports in camp last year that he wasn't even watching the quarterback battle. So how are you helping your quarterback get better by not really evaluating that the process last year? And again, don't you think Vic could have lended a lot to Drew? Hey, I know defenses. Here's what you should be looking for. I mean, that, and maybe, and again, if that happened, somebody tell me. Somebody let me know. But clearly something wasn't happening because they moved on from him. George Payton liked Vic, gave him a year, and moved on. So all I'm saying is I was, before Russell Wilson came into the picture, I was intrigued to see if Nathaniel Hackett could turn Drew Lock's career around, could be a part of that. Obviously, we'll never know. And maybe Seattle's not the right spot, and Drew will just fizzle into being a mediocre quarterback for however long he decides to go at it. Odds are that might happen. But I don't feel, I still don't feel like he was given a fair shake in Denver. And people get so mad about that.
Well, it's a thing that people in the NFL don't really want to admit. It's system and situation matters. Where you get drafted,
no question,
matters. Like, look at Mac Jones. Got drafted to the perfect kind of situation for him. Drew Lock just didn't. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. The pieces don't always align correctly. And you got to hope that a guy like Pete Carroll can get something out of him. Like,
yeah, you would think so. If there is going to be a turnaround, it's going to be there. I think, again, and I'm going to say the same argument I used against Teddy Bridgewater, if you're Seattle, either you're playing for a draft pick or you're going to see if Drew Lock's the guy. Why go Geno Smith? Same with Denver last year. Please text me in your ideas. 888-530-0043. If you're Seattle, you are rebooting. You just signed DK Metcalf, so you have hopes that you're going to be there at some point. But this year, do you think that Seattle really believes that they're a playoff team this year?
I wouldn't say so, no.
I can't imagine.
They've been obviously very quiet on the quarterback market, and they haven't really made any big moves other than Metcalf.
If they thought they were a playoff team this year, Jimmy Garoppolo would be the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks.
Certainly.
That's it. They would have dabbled more with Baker Mayfield. They would have toyed with that idea a little bit more. But none of that happened. Okay, how long has Geno Smith been in the league? Drew's going into his, what, fourth year, I want to say? Yeah, because his rookie year, he played those four games where people were excited. Then he had the starting year as bad, and then last year. So, yes, he's heading into his fourth year as a starting quarterback, or as a quarterback. I just look at the upside between those two guys. It's the same argument with Teddy Bridgewater. If they're both the same, and Vic Fangio coined the phrase 50-50 for the Broncos quarterback battle, might flip a coin, then why wouldn't you just go with the guy that's younger? If they're the same guy.
Smith was drafted in 2013.
So he's been in the league a while now.
Yeah.
He's been in the league, what, 9 years? So you got a 9-year guy that's never proved it, and you got a guy going into his fourth year coming off of a fired head coach. That couldn't be more different than him. So if you're Seattle, if you're going to play for a draft pick, if you're going to tank this season, why not? Why go with Geno Smith? Go with Drew. If he turns something around, you've got a quarterback for the, you know, maybe the foreseeable future. Maybe you're still looking, but you might discover something. Why would you go with Geno Smith? And I'm asking, I'm not even in the Drew Lock camp if you're just evaluating quarterbacks. Last year made zero sense that Teddy Bridgewater was the starting quarterback for the Broncos. Zero. Were they a playoff team? I thought maybe with the defense they might be good enough to squeeze in. I was way off. Teddy was worse than I thought. Drew was worse than I thought. I'll give it to them both. They weren't good. Quarterback play for the Broncos, say for the first 3 weeks of the season, was very bad for Denver. So they should have gone the route of let's see what we have in Drew officially here. But that would have been the same because it would have been Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur. Same situation. The offensive coordinator, Scangarello, for the Broncos, was the same guy that Drew Lock worked with his rookie year and actually had he went 4-1 in his final five games and was actually pretty good. What did Vic Fangio do? Fired Scangarello. And you brought Pat Shurmur in. And you had two seasons of this weird offense that nobody understood. He ran screenplays to Noah Fant. He ran on third and long. He passed on first and short. I mean, he was not a good, for the Broncos anyway, he was not a good coordinator. So everything that you would do to get a quarterback right, you did the opposite of. Oh, the coordinator that he thrived under for five games, let's fire him. Let's bring in a new guy. Get him ready. And then John Elway hired Vic Fangio. You hired another defensive-minded guy after Vance Joseph failed. You hired another defensive-minded guy to go with your gunslinger quarterback. So again, I know it sounds like I'm making excuses. It does, and I understand that. I own that. But you didn't give him any realistic chance to thrive in that system. So if you're Seattle, why would you go with, okay, we're in a recharge mode. Russell's gone. It's a new era in Seattle. If we tank, we can get a new quarterback. Well, tank with Drew then. Seriously. Why wouldn't you tank with somebody who might potentially give you some upside? As opposed to Geno, same with Teddy Bridgewater. You know what you have. Teddy's better than Geno. I'll give you that. But if I'm Seattle, go for broke. Throw him in. See what he's got. And if it doesn't work, great. You were going to tank anyway because Geno ain't going to lead this team to the playoffs.
Maybe it's just a play by Seattle. Get Geno to start that first game. Broncos fans are thinking, okay, we got this. Boom. Here comes Drew Locke.
Put him in. Start the game. There you go. I mean, you don't think Drew's going to be like wanting to play the best game of his ever-loving career?
Oh, yeah. He wants to prove it. Hey, you made a mistake.
I mean, I'm going, and again, I know you guys, I'm biased and all this stuff, but I like to see once and for all. And I don't feel like there was real closure with Drew Locke. There wasn't real closure there. And I think that maybe you get the right guys behind him. Maybe he's one of those guys that can thrive. If not, great. I would have said easily last year if they would have started him and if he was bad, great. We turn the page and we never talk about him again. But he still had moments. He had moments in the games when he played. He just still had bonehead turnover moves because I think he had signs of a desperate man. He was like, I have to win the games for this team. I have to be the hero. Otherwise, my chance is over. And that's tough sometimes for certain quarterbacks. 23 minutes after the hour, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about Joe Schobert and what he might be able to do with the Broncos. He spoke at the podium yesterday. Can he be a big piece to what Denver's doing, even though they signed him because of a rough, rotten situation with Jonas Griffith? So we'll talk about that next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Twenty-seven minutes after the hour. So we're talking about, like, setting up quarterbacks for success. Do you think the Patriots are setting up not your boy, but should be your boy, in Mac Jones? They're having an interesting situation in New England. Splitting of play calls between Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. They split offensive play calling duties in the team's preseason opener last week. Now, again, that's not affecting Mac 100% right there. What is this? What are we doing here? I've never seen anything like it.
You want to lean into that Belichick is onto something that maybe no one else is, but 31 teams aren't doing this for a reason. If he's just trying to be secretive about it because, oh, it matters who calls the plays suddenly, but it's very strange.
How are you? And again, if you're a player, one guy might have a different tendency than the other, you know, and you might have different, not philosophies, because the plays are going to be the same that you're running under Belichick's team, but one guy might be a little more aggressive, one guy might be a little more conservative. They asked Belichick if he was doing this for, like, competition purposes to see who would win the job, and he said that doesn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, no, it doesn't have anything to do with it.
appreciate it.
Bill.
Sorry.
All right. Fall asleep.
They lost to the Giants 23-21. Belichick had described the situation as part of the team's going through a process. What does that mean? He hasn't named his official offensive coordinator to replace Joshie Mick. That's going to be tough because McDaniels was there forever. Is Belichick so confused without his offensive coordinator that he's like, throw them all out there. See what happens. One of them will stick. It's a weird situation. Patricia called plays for the first two series when veteran quarterback Brian Hoyer was in the game. Judge took over when their rookie quarterback Bailey Zapp was in. So, weird deal, man.
It's strange. From my experience, the Dolphins last year had co-offensive coordinators.
Oh, they did?
They had one guy in the booth, one guy on the field, and the quarterback's coach was on the field as well. And they would play telephone, basically, getting the play call down to the field into the quarterback's helmet, and then the head coach would come on and say, oh, quick hot route or something. Whole mess of a situation. So this is strange.
Too many cooks in the kitchen, too many chefs in the kitchen sometimes is not a good thing.
And you can only have, like, one signal to the helmet, right?
Right. It's weird.
And it's a one-way.
How confusing is that? I'm curious to see how this one goes. Judge talked about it and said the assistant coach's job is to make the head coach happy. He has a vision for his team. It's our job to listen and to go out and execute the way he sees it. As far as defined roles or whatever it may be, I come to work with one simple policy. Whatever he says goes. My job is to do whatever he says to the best of my ability to get the players playing better. Okay. All right. Weird deal. 31 minutes after the hour. I don't think this team's confused about who's calling the shots. That's Colorado State. We're going to talk to CSURams.com's Mike Brohard on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 34 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour, I can just picture Brohard listening to this in his Jeep, just getting ready for the day in the CSU Rams style Hawaiian shirt, man. What do you think, Mike? What do you think? Is this your style?
I was a big Iron Maiden fan of the day.
Ooh,
so,
yes.
Yeah, I saw them twice in concert, so that was good. Best one was at Red Rocks, but yeah.
Wow, I'm a little jealous right there, man. I could just picture you still jamming that out. You're still breaking into that once in a while, right? Start the day up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I have a Spotify playlist that's just like 80s metal.
Mm. So, we gotta connect more on this. Mike. We gotta hang out more, man. We gotta hang out more. I'm asking publicly, so you can't say no.
So I can't say no. That's fine. I got no problem with that.
Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, I'm just, you know, I was talking to you a little bit about, you know, Coach Norvell and the CSU Denver tour last week. And, you know, you just see more and more things coming out. Great stuff from the Denver Post I read over the weekend or a couple of days ago. He was making the radio trips, the TV trips. He's everywhere. I just feel like, man, he's got to be one of the most active coaches when it comes to getting out and about, seeking out the media, talking to his fan bases. And I know Sonny Lubick was a lot like that too, but I wasn't around really during that time frame to see the specifics of that. But for your money, Mike, as far as all the coaches that you've covered in Colorado State history, is this one of the more aggressive guys when it comes to getting out and promoting the program?
Okay, so are we talking just football or all coaches?
Let's just say all coaches.
So it's an old school style of thinking, but the person that has done it consistently year after year at Colorado State is Tom Hilbert. You will find his team and him involved in everything that goes on with the community, and it comes from, and I've talked to him about this, and he's right. The more that the community knows your team, the more they have a connection with them. They get to know your players. They get to know you. The more that they're more likely to become fans, and not just become fans, but become invested fans. They're very vested in what you're doing as a program and what your kids are doing. And so the more that they get out into the community and the more you can do that, the better off you are. And so Hilbert's been great at it. Ryan Williams with women's basketball is really good at getting out with the community. Nico Medved, right off the bat, when he first got hired, you know, if you remember correctly, he was at the spring game and he was basically holding court in the concourse. Anybody that came up and talked to him, he was there to talk to them about CSU basketball. So he's great at it, and all of them are. But Tom Hilbert, you've got to give him credit. He's done this consistently throughout his tenure.
And you're right, though, with Hilbert. I mean, if you make that connection, you also give yourself some grace, too. I mean, if you have a rough season once in a while or a rough start to the season or a rough stretch, I just truly feel like, now, over time, that can be tested, I'm sure, I know. But you do give your fan base a certain level of patience to work with you. And again, I just think that with what you see there with the CSU coaching staff, I feel like they're all pretty aggressive when it comes to that, for the most part. Obviously, there's been some in the past that haven't. We won't have to go there today. But you tell me, Mike. I mean, we could be here all day talking about that.
I appreciate you not making me name drop.
I won't do it today. Maybe when we start hanging out more, though, over those beers and Iron Maiden, we can do that, right? That could be.
You know, things. I'll tell you things off the radio that I won't tell you on the radio. How's that?
I will take it. I will take it. And I'll swear an oath and all that stuff. Okay, talk to us a little bit about Jay Norvell. I mean, fans get to see him out and about. They hear him on the radio stuff. They hear him on the TV stuff and all this. You're seeing him all over. You hear all the great things. I get to see him a little glimpses once in a while. But you're around him. I mean, you guys are planning stuff out and what your next steps are as far as how you're approaching the media and stuff. Can you talk to us a little bit more, open the curtain, so to speak, or pull back the curtain of what is Jay Norvell like, kind of like on a daily basis? I mean, is this just a guy that never stops constantly working?
No, he never stops constantly working. So, like, I heard, I was at practice this morning, and I heard it was, I think, 4:30 in the morning yesterday. He was already watching film on Michigan. He can't be at practice because he's still going through the COVID protocols.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. But 4:30 in the morning, you know, let's just throw on some tape of Michigan. So why not? So he's constantly working. He does that. But the person that everybody's seen in public is genuinely who he is. That's what he's like with us behind the scenes. He's joking. He's laughing. He's very much a people person. He's very much like that to everybody that touches his program. And I know when I say that, people think, yeah, the equipment staff, stuff like that. No, I'm talking about the food services people that are feeding his team after practice, the janitorial service that is making sure the lock, you know, the area stays clean and stuff like that. He's constantly thanking them, talking with them, getting to know who they are. This is who he is. And when I first met him, when he got hired, it was like, okay, so where does this kind of come from? And it's the way he was raised. It was his mom and dad. And so when he comes out, and I've heard him tell his players this in team meetings a couple of times, manners make a difference, and he's serious. He wants them to be polite. He expects to hear from professors and anybody across campus, hey, your football team, when they go to class, they're opening up doors for their classmates and teachers. They're saying please. They're saying thank you. They're saying yes, sir. They're saying yes, ma'am. They're being polite. They're being the type of person that people want on their football team. They want the type of person that is respected in the community, and thus, in turn, that pays dividends for the entire football team.
I think that, you know, just seeing him, or I was at an event in Greeley. It was when you guys were, CSU was going all over the place, just meet and greets, and there was one in Weldworks.
Yep.
And yep. I popped down there. I don't even know if I was supposed to be there, Mike, to be real honest with you, but I made it in.
It was a public event, was it not, Brady? Everybody's invited.
I think I had
and
to.
And I know you're famous. You're still a part of the public.
I think you had to, like, maybe RSVP. I don't know, because they asked me a lot of questions. And then, you know, I just drift, and I just drifted away and then back in. And I found myself there. And I noticed, Coach, just almost everybody in that room. At one point, I saw him shaking hands, talking to almost everybody, including yours truly, walked right over to me and starts talking. And again, there's the media side when you talk to coaches, when they're like, okay, we kind of have to because they're going to help tell our story. But then there's when there's not a lot necessarily to gain in that one conversation. I suppose he did because we're talking about it. But I was blown away by that because I've been to a lot of events where coaches are there, whatever, and they do the right thing. They say hi. They know what they got to do. They talk about X's and O's. But that man, I mean, he just seemed so genuine right there in that moment. And he'd probably been at it all day.
Yeah, he's like the Energizer Bunny. So if you want to look behind the curtain, so obviously when a coach gets hired, there's a big, you know, we're planning a social media push, everything that goes out, you know. We're collecting content to go on for days because he's in and then he's out. And he's got to hit the recruiting trail and stuff like that. He went from start to finish with a smile on his face and just kept saying, okay, what's next? All right, that sounds good. Let's go ahead and do it. Hey, did that take sound good? No, hey, let me do that again. You know, I want to sound genuine. Hey, I want to make sure, you know, he's brand new, so he doesn't know every head coach by name, but he's like, hey, I'm going to mention this program. Who's the head coach again? Okay, good. So he got that. And so then he gets here on campus permanently, and there's some function, and all the coaches from every team is there. He's walking up to them and saying, hey, I'm Jay. Tell me a little bit about your program. How long have you been here? What have you done? Like, he walks up to Brian Bedard and he goes, man, you guys got an impressive run. I'd love to talk to you about culture, you know, things like that. Same thing towards Tom Hilbert. Hey, this is great. You guys represent the university well. I mean, these are the things that make a difference.
No question. I mean, very well said by you. And it's got to make, you know, because you're, like you said, content. You're coming up with content on a daily basis for CSURams.com that we can check out. And you're going to, knowing you, you're going to get it no matter what. You're that kind of guy. You're going to find those stories and find those insightful stories. But having a coach that can really give you that extra insight, maybe go that extra mile, I mean, that's got to make your job a little bit easier too, right?
It does in the sense in this. So, yes, I mean, I'm there a lot because writing is part of my job, and part of my job is also with communications. So the players get to know you. The coaches get to know you. You're a familiar face. So you're a trusted face. And hopefully that's what – I'm still a reporter. That's what you always want to be. You want people to trust you with their stories. So, yeah, you get that. But, it's funny. He was, like, very trusting, like, right off the bat. Hey, okay, so you cover us. This is what you're going to do. Hey, that sounds kind of good. We haven't had that before. So, yeah, this is kind of neat.
Yeah.
So I'm out there every day writing stories.
No, and again, I think it's just that cohesiveness, that connection to just when you can have it all work together, only is going to help the fans and learning more about this program. We had a caller at the start of the show that was chiming in just about how excited he was, and he'd been a Rams fan for 42 years. And I asked him, I said, in the last couple of years, was that one of the lowest times? And in his opinion, he said, yeah, for football, it was. But he said he'd never witnessed, you know, the contrast. I mean, you go from this guy to bam, this guy's all over the place in Jay Norvell. So that's just one voice. It's amazing who you're hearing from on a daily basis that really seems to be buying in. And Mike, I think we all just positive and hopeful that it results in fan attendance at Canvas Stadium.
Yeah, and it will. And it will make an impact on fan attendance. And the more he wins, that's how you retain it. And that's the way it works. But he's drummed up some excitement just by being genuinely who he is. He's excited about why he's here and what he wants to accomplish. And he wants other people to be excited about it, too. And that's a great way to go about it. It's like, you know, we want you to be part of this. You know, so let's go ahead and be as inviting as possible. So he goes out and he does that, and he puts on a very personable front to his program by him being him, because the head coach, obviously, he's you know, you're going to know the quarterback, and you're going to know the stars, and everybody knew a Michael Gallup, and everybody knew Rashard Higgins, and everybody loved Trey McBride, but that coach is going to be kind of your permanent fixture as the face of the program, and he puts on a great face.
All right, Mike, some film study questions since Jay's already busting into the Michigan tape. What should we be concerned about with those Wolverines?
Well, probably that they're really good.
A little bit of everything.
And that they've got some experience.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, that, you know, they're opening up in the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
You might want to consider that they played in the college football playoffs last year.
So all valid points.
It's nice that Aiden Hutchinson decided to go to the NFL.
Yes.
That's good.
Yep.
There are a lot of things to consider, and there's a lot of things that they're already addressing on this team. First off being that, you know, this is kind of when I was a reporter, fans would talk to me about this. These were destination games. You know, when the first time they went to Alabama, and then they went again, and then they went to Florida. And going to these places are places that it gives a chance our fans to go and see, like, storied football programs. Like the last big one I remember going to before all of this was like USC when Jeff Byers was playing as a true freshman from Loveland and he was starting on the offensive line. They went to USC, so that was a different experience for fans. So anyhow, you go this, but it's also for the players. I mean, the Big House has got its name for a reason. It's going to be one of the biggest areas of population in the state of Michigan on that day. This very much is, in a lot of ways, a young team. This is going to be a new experience for all of them. How quickly can you get over that? So, like, Tommy Perry, the special teams coach, is really big onto this, living in the moment, controlling what you can control. I remember talking to Marcus Patton about it. He wants his cornerbacks to get rid of the clutter. So it's focused on what you have to, but, you know, in everybody's mind, because we're all human, it's like, okay, I wonder what we're going to eat after the game. He says, okay, just go ahead and answer it right now and get it out of your head, and then it's gone. Don't linger on it. Don't linger on the fact that you're playing in front of 100-plus thousand people in a football game. Okay, look at it, go out, warm up, see it, it's gone. So those are some of the things that they're going to need to do, like, right off the bat. And, you know, and it's also the first game. First game of the season, a lot of excitement, new coaching staff, two new schemes on both sides of the ball, three new schemes. Because, believe it or not, I don't know if you've heard this, there's a special teams coordinator here.
I was going to ask you, is that common for teams to have?
One guy dedicated solely to special teams. So
that's weird.
It's very strange, yes. It's like it's a brand new thing.
It seems awkward.
But anyhow, it's, you know, there's a lot of new to get over, and then there's the new aspect of the game. But the way that they're talking to them mentally is trying to get them prepared for it now so that when they get there, it's not going to be as big of a deal.
Well, I'm pumped for it. And you know what? You know, you always say I'm a worrier, and I'm always bringing up the negative. Just go upset Michigan. Just do that. Just rock the entire college football world, right? My producer's laughing. Don't laugh, Angel. That's not funny. What do you think, Mike? Just go upset
Angel,
the world.
Anything's possible. Remind Angel that Appalachian State has done it before.
Yes. Yeah. And Angel, he's a big – I change his name every other word.
Why?
We had a texter call him that. He's a diehard Bears guy, and you can appreciate this. He graduated from UNC, and yeah. He's a diehard Bears guy.
The Harvard of Weld County.
It is the Harvard of Weld County, and he's very optimistic about Coach McCaffrey's crew. But so he's getting excited for. He's also an Alabama fan though too, so that's tough.
I've seen the Rams a couple times come down to Tuscaloosa.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. Mike, my friend.
Where's Angel from?
Oh, he's from.
Originally,
go ahead.
Originally Alabama. Grew up there, moved out to Colorado about 5 years ago.
Isn't that disgusting? Did you just drop Mike? Did we lose Mike?
No, you didn't lose me, but it's just like all of a sudden. I couldn't hear where you said he was from. I'm trying to figure out if he became an Alabama fan.
No, he's from
good.
He's from Alabama.
I'm from Alabama.
He's from Alabama.
Well, that makes complete sense.
So both of his sisters, both your sisters graduated, right, from Alabama?
Yes, mm-hmm. Or University of Birmingham.
Okay, yes, that's right. So he, in his defense, I'll give him this. He's a true Roll Tide kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Roll Tide.
Yeah,
Roll Tide. If you're from Bama, man, it's Roll. Hey, it's either Roll Tide or War Eagle, and people fight over the Thanksgiving table about this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I even mentioned that, and he just gets really worked up, gets really upset. You can just see it in his eyes. And, of course, we all know Alabama was in a rebuilding year last year, so hopefully they can get on their feet, get off on the right start this year. Mike, my friend, always love talking to you. I just saw a note, two media day changes are coming up, so I don't know when I'm going to be seeing you next, but it can't be soon enough, my friend.
Well, media day is Thursday.
I know. Okay, we'll go over it. I don't know the timing now. The timing's all changed. You know me. I have to have it days in advance. Now I'm confused, and I'll just drift
it
in.
It is days in advance, because if you think about it, today's Tuesday. You have 2 days to plan for this now.
Yeah, it
does
change things.
But again, I think it's probably during your show.
I'm reading it. I'm reading it right now. Yeah, I think that it's going to be. Well, we'll talk. You can be my eyes and ears on the inside.
I'll be very happy to know that somebody's reading his email.
I'm literally reading it on air, so you can tell him that. I'm reading it on air.
That's good. I will let Kyle know that. It'll make him very happy.
If I can't make it,
actually reading it.
If I can't make it, Mike, you know, you're my eyes and ears, man.
I will ask questions. I don't know why, but I have a feeling I'll ask a couple of questions while I'm there.
All right, I'm going to text you a couple of questions from me, and can you specifically say, hey, this one's from my friend Brady.
And then... It depends on the question.
Okay, all right.
I'd like to keep my job.
Well, yeah, if I don't have to be there face-to-face, then I'm going to get bold and really ask some tough stuff. So,
We're not going there.
Mike, my friend, always appreciate it. Let's do it. Iron Maiden, beers, you, me. Sounds like a good time. Let's mark it in the calendar. Make it happen.
2 minutes to midnight, baby.
All right, let's do it. All right, my friend. Mike Brohard, CSURAMS.com. He's a great dude. I love that guy. Getting to know him more and more over the years. So I'm reading the Media Day stuff. Normally we try to carry that. I don't know. It has to move from 10 to 3. Okay, there you go. Sorry, I'm just letting you in on the work schedule here. 12:52 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I tell you, it's all about the Greeley West Spartans on 13 Days, 13 Teams. Presented by Bagley Family Dental. Hear all things Greeley West tonight at 5 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Nick Saban does that kind of stuff, though, right? He gets out, about, talks to people all over the place. I mean, is he? I'm not saying you know him personally, but you follow him closely there, Angel, and Angel, Angel, Angel. Which one do you like best?
Whichever works.
Okay, good. What do you think? I mean, how big into the community is Nick Saban?
He's very much in the community. He doesn't have a Twitter, doesn't have any social media. Very old school, but he hosts tons of events. His wife, Terry, they do all kinds of social events within the community in Tuscaloosa. I think he did a commercial for Mercedes-Benz a couple days ago. He has a dealership out there.
He's in the Affleck commercials too now, isn't he?
He's a very community-based guy, but this time of year, you cannot get in touch with him. He is locked in right
now.
Does
he do a weekly coaches show?
He does.
He does. I just think that more coaches, whether you have a Twitter or not, you have to do this stuff to survive. I mean, I almost think it's going to be the interview process now. It's got to be. Hey, how active are you willing to be in the community? How active are you on social media? How active are you? Are you willing to go to games once in a while that aren't yours? You know, are you willing to go to a basketball game and pick up a microphone? I think that that's going to be part of the hiring process now. Now, depending on your schools, was Ed McCaffrey asked that question? It might just be, hey, you're popular. Come over here and coach football. I got to imagine after the Adazio fiasco, one of the questions for Jay Norvell was, how do you do with the media? How do you do with fan engagement? Because we need that. We got to have it. Like, it's not an option. We have to have it. And, man, they hit a home run with Jay Norvell. CSU upsets Michigan. Is Jay Norvell here the next day? That's the question. Is he gone?
I think he might be okay after week one.
Oh, boy. Wouldn't that be something? My guy Clay Millen, his first start. We're going to be talking to him about all this. He starts on Monday with the Clay Millen Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza and in part by Ent Credit Union. All right. Final hour coming up next. We go to the dark side as far as Wyoming Cowboys talk next with Cody Tucker.